in a world drowning in noise, where truth is often buried beneath layers of propaganda and misinformation, there's a need for a different kind of a network. A network of creators that cuts through the clutter, that doesn't shy away from tough topics, and that delivers the unfiltered truth. We are Trim Radio Network. We are creators. We are innovators. We are investigators. We're the ones who aren't afraid to call a spade a spade. If you're ready to participate in thought-provoking discussions, informational topics, and of course today's biggest headlines, subscribe to our YouTube channel today. We're Trim Radio Network. We're cutting the bull and serving the truth.
Welcome to Revelation, where prophecy meets science. Join host Peter Kling, the Einstein of biblical prophecy, as he uncovers ancient truths with modern insight. Prepare to see the world in a whole new light. And now your host, Peter Kling.
Good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining me tonight. You folks are the most brilliant folks, I would say, on the planet, because if you're listening to me, you are getting knowledge beyond what is put out in the world. And we're going to talk a little bit about some more extreme biblical prophetic knowledge from the book of Revelation. Actually, we'll talk a little bit about the whole Bible, but tonight's topic is Revelation, the alien connection. And we've talked about aliens before. We've talked about them several times. But when you get to Revelation, it changes. It changes. And I'll explain that. Years ago, I said if I had to rename the Bible, I would call it 6,000 years of extraterrestrial intervention in human life. And that's what it really comes down to. And what most people, now I'm not going to say what most people, almost no one realizes this one thing, and that is our destination. Where do we wind up when all of this is over? And I'm going to make, I think I may have mentioned this before, but God made a covenant with Abraham that his children, his seed, would be like the stars of heaven. And that's really where we're headed. But we'll be able to get there in three-dimensional form. That's another show. But tonight, yeah, the alien connection to Revelation. And the reason why I want to talk about this from a practical viewpoint, a biblical viewpoint, and is it time to play the alien card? And Riscal, I'd be more than happy if you would join me tonight. I'm sure you have some questions and some observations, especially being in the field of service in which you serve this country. You get to see a lot of interesting things from a military perspective. And the military perspective is part of this, because we can kind of track alien intervention in through the Third Reich, and then from the Third Reich into America. And that all happened under Operation Paperclip. All we're told about is Wernher von Braun and his scientists there. You know, we're rocket engineers. We're the fireworks behind the secret space program. And so where did that knowledge come from? And there's a long, long line of this knowledge that goes all the way back right to the beginning of the Bible. We're dealing with some very interesting situations. In Letters to Earth, I wrote, basically, chapters 2 through 5 all have to deal with extraterrestrials, and they're most likely the influence that they've had on this planet. Where most people, The problem is that the Bible is not a religious book, and everybody learns it as a religious book. But the interesting connection is that right in Genesis, it's the serpent that speaks to the woman. In Revelation, that serpent becomes a fiery-colored dragon. And dragons are indeed reptilian serpents. And we had a whole reptilian age on this planet. And it's alleged that we have reptilians among us today. And boy, that's an easy connection to make when you're talking about reptilians. But there's so many different species that are with us. And what inspired me tonight was I listened to an interview with Kerry Cassidy. And I give Kerry Cassidy credit. She's not a Johnny Come Lately. She's been around for the last 20, 25 years. She's did her thing and pretty much about the same time I started doing my specific research into these last days and how the Bible makes a connection to what is actually going on. She's been around a while. She's got a reputation. She's got a significant following. She has some insight. However, several years ago, I tried to get on her show. Yeah, wouldn't give me the time of day. And I had a lot of people contacting her. Some said that they actually knew her. But at the same point, I got invited to a lot of different speaking events all around the country. But for some reason, they all bailed out at the last minute. And that was all due to the protocol that I wrote about as well, because that's the control that we're under. And that's a very touchy subject. That subject got me into deep trouble with the powers that control this planet, because it was total exposure. And if the shoe fits, wear it. If they walk like a duck and they talk like a duck, guess what? It's probably a Donald. Take that any way you want. But, you know, here's where we are. Kerry was actually outed probably about 15 years ago as being an asset of the CIA. People might say, oh, that's ridiculous. She's not an asset of the CIA. You know, you can be an asset and don't even know it. But she knew it. And so she's also one of the people that blacklisted me. But I came across another woman that was actually starting up a MUFON-style event, you know, learn about what's going on with a bunch of different speakers, you know, people that were going to be speaking there. I was not invited to that one. And it was attended quite nicely. She had a pretty nice lineup of people. But as I understand, men in dark suits showed up and they basically tried taking over her program and telling her what she could do, what she couldn't do, and who they wanted on this, you know, speaking, and who they didn't want. And she was convinced pretty much that they were certainly with one of the agencies, but most likely our favorite three-letter agency, which is also a result of the Nazi Gestapo. Yeah, under Operation Paperclip, the OSS was infiltrated by the Nazi Gestapo. They put their ways of doing business into means, and it became the CIA. So we've been infiltrated for quite some time. Gain control of the world's largest power, and you've got might in your hands. And that's kind of what they're trying to break now, but it's going to break in a slightly different direction than what most people think, regardless. But they were directing her on what to do, and she got so upset with their involvement in her program that it was the first and last show that she ever did. And she said she didn't want to, she wasn't going to be influenced by the men in black, quotation mark. But, you know, that was just the way it is. That's what she saw it as. And so who controls the narrative and what is going on with the whole UFO, all the other three letters that that they've given this subject and extraterrestrial involvement in our affairs today. And when does it come on the scene? When does it pick up? And we've talked about some of this before, and we can connect it with when war breaks out in heaven. But let's take a look at, I want to digress just for a second with Kerry's interview. I don't have anything against her. I don't have anything for her. I listen to some of the information, and I'm not a follower. I just listen to time to time. She happened to be on the Nino Rodriguez show, world champion boxer. I took one too many punches to the head, Rodriguez. Hey, a lot of people love him. But anyway, so I'm listening to the interview, and she's bringing up all these different connections, but it's connections, interestingly enough, that have biblical support. And that comes out, didn't come out in that show, but it comes out from time to time. Why do you think that the powers that be try to cover this information up about giants, about extraterrestrials from the past? Remember, we all evolved. At least that's what they want us to believe. Darwin is taught as fact, not a theory. It's not a fictional possibility. Genetic engineering makes a lot more sense, especially when you start with the Cambrian period. So we see that we have both biblical support for extraterrestrials or aliens, not from this planet, and we've got a fairly large community that also agrees and looks to these beings from, they're part of our universe. They're from different parts of the universe. And you've got, the insectoids, the reptilians, the tall grays, the short grays, the tall whites, and a whole variety of different life forms, which is interesting because it was easy to turn around and go after the reptilians and say, look, the reptilians are here. They're not our friends. They're not our friends. But they, I don't know, somewhere around 2012, 2011, I think it was 2012, actually, the Galactic Federation of Light showed up. And that was interesting. They kind of faded into the sunset, so to speak. But the message that they brought with them, they had a whole bunch of people on that bandwagon. The message that they brought with them is that they were our genetic engineers. I was like, oh, great. Did I just write the backstory for these people? Because that's what I wrote in Letters to Earth, that we were genetically, life on Earth was genetically engineered. It's basically what it says in Genesis. Eve was genetically engineered from a tissue sample taken from Adam. Who are the genetic engineers? Think about it. Oh, well, we've got all these different gaps in the evolution theory. They're not gaps. It's genetic changes. It's genetic engineering. Why recreate the whole monkey just to get to the variety that you want? Just genetically change it. Turn off and on different switches. It was a genetic engineer that he said, hey, chickens were once upon a time dinosaurs. And he tried turning on the genetic code to turn the chicken into a dinosaur, finding out where that code was within the DNA. But, and we could take our DNA and recreate all life on this planet all the way back to cyanobacteria. Think about that. We are a biological product of the planet on which we live. And we were most likely genetically engineered. However, Genesis directly says that Adam was made out of the elements of the ground. The start of a totally new species. It was God that blew the breath of life into Adam's nostrils. And so we breathe Yahuwah, the name of God in ancient Hebrew. It's the name of the Creator. And so we can put together the technologies that we know about. We put together the reports that we hear, whether it's extraterrestrials teaching humans how to engineer or back engineer their spacecraft, because it certainly seems like there was a definite connection between the aliens and the Third Reich, or alien beings in the Third Reich, which came up through the Vril Society. Look them up, V-R-I-L, and the Thule Society, or Thule Society, which was adopted into the SS, which sacrificed children to make extraterrestrial connections and to have that extraterrestrial support, get that information, which goes back thousands of years, probably gets its start in ancient Sumeria or within the district of ancient Babylon, where you can pretty much worship anything that you wanted, including gods that demanded live human sacrifice. Wow, what a loving God. What a caring deity. He wants us to sacrifice our children to him or her, whatever the case might be. But that's not what it was from the beginning. You know, we essentially are the children of God. Claim your rightful heir, your ownership. Claim your rightful connection. We are the children of the Creator. We can create. We love. We feel. We're the most cherished life form in the third dimension. And control over us and the separation of us from our Creator is what the satanic beings who are controlling this earth absolutely want. Those from the synagogue of Satan, worshiping an extraterrestrial. Anyway, we get to Genesis, and we have several occasions of extraterrestrials in Genesis, the sixth chapter. The sons of the true gods saw that earth women were becoming many on the planet, and they were good looking. And so they took wives to themselves. Now we've got a hybrid, the Nephilim. Interestingly enough, Terry Cassidy made, no, she didn't. It was a different video that I was watching where they made, they actually got the story right, where they said that the Nephilim, they're still here on the earth today. Not in body. They're disembodied spirits. They are conscious beings that were forced to stay on this planet since the death of their bodies. Anybody who's ever had a near-death experience will tell you, yeah, our body dies, our consciousness doesn't. So there you go. Even in Genesis, it says, God said, I will ask back the soul of every living creature. For man himself, I shall ask back his soul. What is our soul? Our life force and consciousness, our living consciousness, which keeps the meat bag in which we reside alive. So, yes, and it's all connected. And where does this pick up? I mentioned the Vril Society, but and that's the same time period as when they joined with the Thule Society, right around the beginning of World War I, and they became more powerful because there were a lot of orphans made during World War I. It was easy to pick up kids and do what you wish to them because of the war. War is very profitable on many different levels. Anyway, but we're not here to talk about that. But It's also the time when war breaks out in heaven. And you've got Michael and his angels battling the serpent, the seven-headed fiery colored serpent. We've talked about this before. And its angels. But the serpent did not prevail. And so down he and his angels were cast down to earth because they were exiled from heaven forever. There was no more room for them there. But it gives a warning to the earth. Woe, woe, woe for the earth. For the devil has been cast down to you. Satan has been cast down to you. The Satanists are becoming much more powerful. And so war breaks out on earth, a world war, one of which has never been seen, followed by plague, the Spanish flu, followed by the Great Depression, followed by more war. And indeed, when I did the research for this, approximately 1 billion people died during the 20th century due to war, government uprising, change of regimes, and the problems that those things bring, like starvation and death. Almost 1 billion people died in the 20th century. 1 billion humans died in the 20th century. 1 billion of you and me and our children and our relatives and our friends were wiped out in the 20th century. And so, woe, woe, woe for the earth, for the devil has been cast down to you. And he drags a third of the stars with him, as we learn in Revelation chapter 9. Those stars are very powerful extraterrestrial beings. And so now we have the entities here. All we need is the right backstory. Well, depending on which backstory you want, you can go all the way back to ancient Sumeria, go all the way back to the Garden of Eden. You can go where, whatever backstory you want. No, we're the Galactic Federation of Light. We are your genetic engineers. Boy, just think what that would do to the church. Goodbye. Don't need religion. We need spirituality. We need truth. We need to contemplate the things that we learn and that we are educated to. And we also need to be diligent. And, hey, be skeptical. Be skeptical. Because a lot of this is difficult to believe, especially when you're learning it and then looking how it fits together and put it into place to say, hey, there's a reason all this is happening. Stay tuned. There's more to come. We are in a transition period, not just here on Earth, but I'm talking cosmically speaking, across the dimensions. This is an interdimensional war that we are in becoming involved in. No, we are involved in it. We are involved in it. Should we play the alien card yet? No, why not? It's been slow disclosure, slow frog boil. That works in lobsters, too. You never want to throw a live lobster into a hot pot. Throw them in there, turn the heat up. Steamed lobster is great, if you like lobster. Not a big fan, but it used to be great once upon a time. But regardless, it's that, getting used to things. If you go back to the 60s, I don't know if you lived in the 60s, we were just starting to go through the rock and roll era. Take the people that are out running around with, multicolored hair, piercings, tattoos out the wazoo. They're misled, misguided, and they don't know what to do. And put them back just in the 60s. Man, circus just come to town. But yet that's where we've gotten to. Take the fact that our children are being propagandized into becoming transgender. Throw that back in the 60s. Yeah, in the 60s, you could have gotten beaten up if they thought you were, you know, homosexual. That wasn't allowed, let alone all this other stuff, until homosexuals came out of the closet as well. But that led to the next step, which led to the transgender movement, which led to a generation that is now on the scene is like, where the heck do we go? What's real? What's not? Why should I work when everything's been given to me my whole life? The people who think that they're privileged. It's all been part of a progression to get us to this point, and it's done. Hey, you had the progression, the sexual revolution of the 60s. That's Baal worship. We've then turned around and out of the 60s came Roe versus Wade, which Trump just got the Supreme Court to overturn, or so they say. But the Supreme Court said, well, we should have never said anything about Roe versus Wade to begin with. That's kind of a personal matter, and, you know, take it up with your own statehood. Killing infants, sacrificing infants unborn. Now you got Molech worship. Yeah. And now they want to wait until, well, you know, we can do post-birth abortion. Why? To feed an industry. Yeah. Baby parts for sale. Imagine that. They sacrifice children and then use their parts for products and research. Some of them get burned in the incinerator. But that's where we got to. And then the transgender. Hello, Ashtoreth, another ancient god. A god of transsexuality. You know, we've got the... Oh, darn, the name escaped. Baphomet, thank you. We have Baphomet. What the heck is a Baphomet? It's like, seriously, take a close look at that piece of junk. It's transgender, trans animal, trans everything. Is that what they really, is that the god that they serve? Think about it. They're not part of a family. They're not part of a family. They worship these alien entities as if they were gods. You know, we got right through that through the scriptures, the book of Daniel. Gabriel says, hey, sorry I was late, but I was fighting with the Prince of Persia. And I got to go fight with the Prince of Persia. And look, the Prince of Greece is coming. Principalities controlling world empires. And that's where we are. But Revelation, it's interesting. When you start reading it, it's Jesus talking to John through a vision. And it's actually an angel that's giving John these, letting John see these visions. And then he's told to write all these things down and give them to the angels of the seven congregations. Wait, the angels of the seven congregations? Yeah, throughout Asia. So here we're extraterrestrial. We're now spreading that word to seven other extraterrestrials, but through the congregations, those beings that are helping on a interdimensional scale to establish Jesus' kingdom. And what's even greater is that at this point, Jesus is no longer human. Jesus, Yeshua, has become a super being. Most likely, he's made of antimatter. Antimatter in a shell. He's become immortal. He is one of the immortals which are talked about within Revelation. And people are expecting him to come back like the way he left. I'm coming back in the clouds. Interesting. Oh, Jesus will be with us on the earth. Yeah, not exactly. Not exactly. Don't look for somebody. Jesus said many will come on account of my name. But Jesus is coming back in a very specific way. Yeshua, the Messiah, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And it tells you that right in the beginning of Revelation, that Jesus essentially is the King of Kings, King over those who are controlling the earth. He has the legal right to this planet now. This is all political. This is a political situation when it's working out on an extraterrestrial, interdimensional, alien life form of encapsulation. It's where we are. That's what we are dealing with. Alien forces that do not have our best interest in mind, that other people within different groups like MUFON and the other ones that pop up, who all believe pretty much the same thing that Kerry Cassidy does. You look on the spiritual side of it, and oh, I believe in ghosts, extra, you know, spiritual beings, demonic forces. Just because we can't see them doesn't mean they're not there. I had heard a very interesting story. I don't know if how many of you know Cliff High. He's the guy that invented the web bot. His father, he was a military brat, and his father was actually in charge of a project to develop starlight lenses that you can, you know, it's what the pilots use to fly in the dark. And there's a reason why they're green and not red. And they started off with red. And oddly enough, and this was during the Vietnam War, they outfitted the door gunners and several people with these night vision goggles. And when they first went into battle, all of a sudden, one of the door gunners just opened up wildly and caused the whole, and they're flying at night, causing the whole formation to break up. And they said, what were you firing at? Them, who them? That they're these demon-looking devil creatures that are flying with us. And that's what he was actually seeing as they're going into battle. And he made one of them made eye contact with him, and I think pointed to him. And that's when he opened up with the Mahadus, you know, shooting out the door or whatever he was firing with. But he opened fire on it. And so having the red lenses let them see into the band of light where these extraterrestrial demonic forces were living. They were going along to see the bloodletting. They had a good shoot 'em up tonight. Why do you think there's been so much war? They want us dead. They hate humans because of the situation that they find themselves in. War breaks out in heaven. They ain't staying up here anymore, bum, down to the earth. War breaks out on the earth. And we get a little taste of this through the people that have this platform and sometimes our own experience. I've had my own experiences with UFOs and extraterrestrials. And I'll swear I got to see the hand of God in action. That's the whole amazing story itself. Riscal, are you with us this evening? I guess he's not.
I'm still here.
He got me going on my own, sure. So here we are.
I'm still here.
The whole show. Oh, you're still here. Yeah, that was. I'm sorry. That was a question I'd asked you before, because you know a lot of people have had either a spiritual adventure or they've seen UFOs, and you being in the military, we started talking about that, and you never got a chance to answer because we had to go live. So, what's your thought about that? Just out of curiosity.
I don't believe in UFOs. I know that there are UFOs. It's not a matter of belief. It's a matter of knowing. So one of the things, this is kind of comical. One of the things that happened to me when I was still serving in the Air Force, where I was stationed, my duty station was literally 100 yards from the runway. One night, and I worked from 4 in the afternoon to 7 the next morning. So by the time midnight rolls around, there's nobody around. It's just basically barren, but they need somebody around for whatever reason. So this is about 1 o'clock in the morning. All the lights on the runway went off. Then all the lights in the buildings around the runway went off. What the heck's going on? We must be having a power outage or something. And then, like, within a minute or two, I hear jet engines. But I don't see jets. And it's a dark night. There's no moon out. But I hear jet engines. And I don't see anything. I'm looking around. I'm looking around. And now I'm walking closer and closer to the runway, and up in the sky, I see these three triangular aircraft that are hovering like a helicopter, but sound like a jet. And in my ignorance, and I was so naive, I thought, oh my God, this UFOs, the Air Force is in cahoots with the aliens, UFOs coming down. These things were black. There was no writing on them. I found out later. The next thing I did was I had some friends of mine were in security. I called my friends in security. What's going on? The lights are off. These things are coming down. They look like flying saucers coming down. They're all laughing. I said, well, tell me what's going on. They couldn't tell me. They didn't know anything. They couldn't tell me anything. But several days later, I come to find out these were experimental aircraft, what we call now the Harrier jet. These were still in the experimental stage, and they didn't want people to see them, so they would fly them at night and paint them black. And I thought, I can't wait to wake up in the morning, and it's going to be front page. It's going to be everywhere.
Wild, but you know that they have shown pictures of lighter than, of course, you don't hear the jet engines now, but triangular aircraft,
yeah,
that are up there.
Yep.
I've
seen lights
president.
Up in the sky when we were in Colorado. Colorado is amazing in certain. So when I was in Denver, Denver's a mile up from sea level. One of the things, being a Florida boy, where Florida is basically flat, having been exposed to the mountains and the aroma. When you go up into the mountains and you're amongst the evergreens, it reminded me, it felt like Christmas because of the Christmas trees. So there was a couple of times that we were up there, we saw some lights way off in the distance. I couldn't tell you if it was a aircraft or if it was a flying saucer, but it was doing some weird stuff and flying back and forth. It wasn't, if it was an aircraft, it was flying reconnaissance. It was way off in the distance, so I couldn't tell. And it only had, I don't want to say, it's not white. It's like a warm white. It's like the color of the sunlight. You know what I'm saying? It's not a white, white. And it was, this particular thing was going back and forth for probably a half an hour. We were camped out. We were enjoying the looking at the stars and stuff. So I don't know. That could have been a UFO. Could have been an aircraft. I don't know.
I saw one. I've seen a few different ones. Some I think I can explain. Some there's been a few I have absolutely no idea. But one was some sort of a transport vehicle, and I just happened to be out on our back deck, and I hear a jet going by, and I look up, and the jet is flying south, but there's this other craft that's just below it and to, I guess we call it the starboard side. That would be the right side of the aircraft. And it's going in the opposite direction. And this was a segmented vehicle. And I say vehicle, it had no wings. And all of a sudden, it cloaked itself. It disappeared from like the back to the front. And it was like, where the hell did it go? Yeah, it was like, I've seen pictures before, you know, in different drawings or in UFO pictures, but it was a segmented craft. The propulsion system, it had a propulsion system of some kind. No wings, no tail. And then it cloaked itself. It just disappeared. I also saw a silver orb that I was coming home one evening. That the sun was just about set. I guess it had set. And as I'm coming up the hill, right on the horizon, and it didn't look like it was that far away, but the silver orb shoots across tremendously fast. And when it comes in from like my 3 o'clock and heads toward the 9 o'clock, but about three quarters of the way in my field of view, it vanished. I mean, it was like, where did it go? Huh. And it went right over, from my perspective, it looked like it was going right over the treetops, flying at treetop level. And I was like, what the heck was that? But then where did it go? It just vanished. And my personal take is some are hours, and, you know, when I say hours, the United States, hello, Space Force, and some are not hours. And I don't think that some of, you know, that those were of this world. Let's put it that way. Could it be technology that the United States has? It could be. You know, I'm not privy to those programs. If I wouldn't, I was talking about it. Yeah, I probably may not wake up tomorrow and find my living quarters a crater in the ground. You know, so you piss off the wrong people and they're going to be coming for you. But that's just the way our world operates now. You better have God's his power guiding and directing you. And I pray for that every day, several times a day. The other experience that I had with, you might classify it as a UFO, because I couldn't identify it other than what I saw, and it saved my life. Saved my life, my son's life, and that was a blue orb that instantly appeared between. I was driving down the road, just set my cruise control 63 miles an hour, and out from the left side, right from the tree line, jumps this 8-point buck. And while he was in, and I knew we were going to take him right in the windshield. I knew it. And he jumped the road, and this, as he's in the air, this orb appeared, blew up like a balloon, and absorbed the impact. The deer lived, we lived, but I thought we were done. I figured that deer was coming right through the glass, but he didn't. And Maggie noticed that. She goes, look at the indentation in the windshield. It looks like the outline of an angel. And she was right. I didn't see that. I took pictures of the vehicle. I was like, what the heck just happened? What did I just see? A sphere of energy. It was blue. It was sparkling blue, about the size of a grapefruit, and blew up about 30 inches and absorbed the impact. Wish it would have come a little bit sooner and saved my car. That was kind of, it's still, unfortunately, did enough damage to the car where it couldn't be repaired. But we were fine. And so it's like you said, you know, you don't have to believe, you know. Yeah. It's like, I don't need faith. I know. I just saw what happened. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the three Hebrew boys were thrown into the fire. Hey, you know, whether we burn or not, that's inconsequential. But King, you need to know that we don't serve your God, Marduk. We serve Jehovah. And so they were thrown into the fiery furnace. The fire was so hot that it actually killed the men that were throwing them in. And Nebuchadnezzar looks into the bottom and he says, didn't we throw three men in there, or was it four? No, sire, we threw three men. What's that fourth guy doing in there? Yeah. Extraterrestrial encounter. And so when we get to Revelation, it's all extraterrestrial encounters with what's going on planet Earth. What's going on now? Riscal, you asked me this question a few weeks ago. The four angels at the Euphrates who are bound, and then somehow they command an army of 200 million. That's interesting. You have the key to the pit of the abyss being opened, which releases a horde of entities ready for war. They're the size of horses, have lion's teeth. They look like men's faces, women's hair, and they have the tail of a scorpion. Little alien versus predator going on here. And they have a king over them, the prince of the pit of the abyss. In Hebrew, the name is shucks. Wouldn't it just slip the gears here? Apollyon in Greek, Abaddon in Hebrew, but Apollyon. There's a temple to Apollyon within the perimeter of CERN. An ancient temple, a thousand-year-old temple to Apollyon, the destroying angel. You can look up the definition and the meaning of the word. CERN's mascot is the goddess, or the god Shiva, the destroying angel. They open up portals. So, again, extraterrestrial warfare. And even when we're talking about the eighth king, which we've talked about lots of times, that the and this would be Apollyon or Abaddon, the kingdom that was but is not, which ascends out of the abyss. Let's see, the Trump administration that was but then wasn't, and then it ascended out of what seemed to be the abyss of the Biden regime, and to come back on the scene. And then just last week, he turns around and has the Peace Club, the Bureau of Peace. And I've heard everything that I've heard about Trump doing that is exactly what we said last week. He's done away with the United Nations. You mean God's bowl of anger was poured upon the throne of the wild beast, the United Nations? Yeah. Biblical scripture being fulfilled. It's there. These things are happening now. Where do we go from here? The one thing which I haven't actually quoted, which is in Revelation chapter 17, is that the eighth king goes up against the Lamb. He goes up against the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And that's the end. Then the beast that was but is not, which ascends out of the abyss and is now again, gets thrown back into the abyss. He's loosened for perhaps to come back before too long. Well, it'll be long enough. We got to have 1,000 years of peace coming up. So there'll be more prophecies being fulfilled as this goes on. Hello, Babylon the Great. Earthly religion has to be exposed. would admission of aliens, disclosure, what would be the impact of that on religion? Riscola, what's your opinion? What do you think the impact on religion would be? Should all of a sudden, you know, there's an announcement out of the White House that, yes, aliens do exist.
You know, for somebody like me, it wouldn't surprise me at all, but I can imagine that there are people out there that are just going to freak out completely. I think about some of these people who are going to these protests and using very little common sense while they're there. Those are the kind of people who are just going to go berserk. They're going to go nuts. They're not going to know what to do and how to behave. Oh my God, there's aliens and they're here, probably here to take over the world. Well, I got news for you. If you do a little digging, they've been around for quite a while. And if they wanted to take over the world, they would have done it quite a few thousand years ago. I think that they're trying to modify our world. I do believe that they're trying to modify. That comes from the combination of stratospheric injection of chemicals, also known as chemtrails, as well as the technology that is known as HARP. I think between the two of them, they are geologically re-engineering our planet for a new species. And that species, I think, is going to be part human. This isn't any time, and this isn't going to happen in a couple of years. This has been going on for a while. So I think if they succeed in what they're doing, we will have hybrid humans. We won't have pure organic humans, if that makes sense.
Yeah, well, I think that may have already happened with the shot that 80% of the population of the United States took. Because from, and I haven't dug down and actually gone to look at the patents, but from what I've heard from several different sources, based on the patent of that injection, because of the mRNA, which then modifies our DNA, we now become owned by the patent holder.
That's correct. Technically, you are now a piece of equipment that is under the patent number, and you belong to whoever the patent belongs to.
Crazy, huh?
Well, I got an even more crazy one. One of the patents that this injection is based upon, there's several of them, but this one is really stuck out. The patent number is 2020. Well, guess what happened around 2020? /06-06-06. This is, if you can look it up, you can put it in Google, it'll still come up. 2020/06-06-06. It will come up as a patent for a product that is injected into a human body and basically turns the body into a transceiver. In other words, it can transmit and receive.
How about that?
And people, so people who got the you know what, have some people, not everybody, have walked by Bluetooth devices, and the Bluetooth device is scanning, it lights up, says it found a number, and that number belongs to that person.
Amazing, huh? Now, according to the research, you can defeat the nanoparticles that are in there that cause this with nicotine.
Correct.
Don't smoke, it's bad for your health, but yeah, you can take a patch or you can chew gum. So you can get rid of those little suckers with nicotine.
Nicotine, and I can't remember how to pronounce nicotinase or something. Sounds something like that. That's another one. There's also some promising evidence coming forward that ivermectin might help to get rid of the spike protein.
Interesting. Ivermectin. Boy, that seemed like a cure-all.
Wonder why they didn't want people taking that.
No patent on it. Oh, that's horse medicine. It'll kill you. Yeah, sure. Why does it cure the horse? but it's a dewormer. Well, yeah, we're full of parasites, and so we're learning. So is the food that we eat. You know, it's like, yeah, okay.
So, Peter, I think you know I've had cancer 2 times, right? I'll tell you that. I've had cancer twice. I had prostate cancer, and I had bladder cancer.
You told me about the prostate cancer. But well, I don't recall that, the bladder cancer.
It's a subject that's near and dear to my heart. So what I found out over the years is, and I did a protocol, got rid of it on my own. I didn't use the medical industry. I was too adamant to stay away from them. But what I found over the years is evidence that shows what cancer truly is are parasites in your body. And when they decide to do their deal and let their poop out, these are toxins that are coming into your body. There is an Italian doctor, his name is Dr. Simoncini, who cures cancer with baking soda. He says cancer is a fungus. Well, and I believe him now, because finding out that these things are, you know, they're pooping in your body, it's turning into a fungus. And that fungus, they call that a cancer. This is why a protocol that came out last September, I think it was, ivermectin, fenbendazole, and mebendazole. The three of those using conjunction with each other, they did a trial on, I believe it was 100 people, and 99 of them were cured. And the other one eventually got cured, but did not get cured in the specified time of the trial. And that protocol is out there. I'm still looking for it. I can't find it. But I am told that it is a protocol, a peer-reviewed protocol. So that means doctors got involved in this.
Yeah, absolutely. I understand that methylene blue also kills fungus.
Correct.
So, you know, that there are cures out there. It's just a matter of investigating them. They thought I had cancer, and I wouldn't let them touch me. I wouldn't let them do a biopsy. I went home, and first thing I did when I walked through I was in the hospital for 3 days, and three doctors say, hey, we really want to biopsy that. And finally, I told the last doctor, I said, look, you know, if you do the biopsy and it's cancerous, you can release those cells through my whole body, and I'm screwed. He signed my release. Never said a word. Signed my release and let me go. I got home. First thing I did, baking soda in a glass of water. But, you know, I want to be, we're just about out of time here. And I do want to cover this one thing, because we're only starting the dig into aliens and extraterrestrials and their involvement in our lives. But when I talked about the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and that the eighth king from Revelation 17 would fall, but when he does battle with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But this is actually the return of the Christ, the Yeshua, Messiah. He doesn't come back as Jesus. Revelation 19:11. It reads, and I saw the heavens open, and look, a white horse, and the one seated upon it is called Faithful and True, and he judges and he carries on war in righteousness. His eyes are a fiery flame, and upon his head many diadems, and he has a name written that no one knows but he himself, and he is arrayed with the outer garment sprinkled with blood, and the name he is called is the Word of God. Also, the armies that were in heaven were following him on white horses, and they were clothed in white and clean fine linen. And out of his mouth protrudes a sharp, long sword that he may strike the nations with it, and he will shepherd them with an iron rod, with a rod of iron. He treads to the winepress of anger, the wrath of God the Almighty. And upon his outer garment, even upon his thigh, he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so this will be the end of Satanic Rebellion. This will be the end of those who have been duped into taking up the side of Satan, or the side of these Satan worshipers, when it comes right down to it. So we have to align ourselves both mentally and spiritually if we are going to survive what is coming. And that's why we're here, is to learn how to survive this God's battle of Armageddon. Letters to Earth. You can survive Armageddon. With that, we're just about out of time. Ruscullo, thanks for joining me again tonight, and thanks for producing the show. Without you, Revelation would not be on YouTube or Rumble. So if you're listening, hey, give a like, give us a thumbs up, tell other people about the show, share this knowledge with others, and be sure to listen to the other programs. Tomorrow night, we've got Maggie Hart with the Positive 2 podcast. She's got a surprise coming before too long that I'm sure she's just chomping on the bit to share once the project is complete. And, of course, Ruscullo's show on Saturday night, and all the other shows that are found on the Trim Radio Network. And with that, I'm going to say join us next week. We're going to talk more about this and more about the control of the planet and what we can do to survive what is coming. And hopefully we'll have some peaceful years in between from where we are now. Hopefully they'll get this mess cleaned up to an extent. With that, I'm going to say love and blessings to all. Again, give us a thumbs up, like the program, share it with your friends. Until next week, good night, everyone.